are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hey, everybody. This is David Siegel, your host for the weekly Dishin' and Swishin' podcast here on hoopfeed.com. And, yes, it's the middle of the WNBA season, and we've talked plenty of WNBA recently, and we've also talked a lot about the NCAA season and college ball, but in our goal of always covering all facets of women's basketball, we're going to go off the board a little bit this week. And I'm pleased to welcome onto the podcast two former NCAA players that have some interesting things going on that are taking us to the next level. And you'll see how I get that name eventually. But I'm pleased to welcome Special Jennings and April Phillips to Dishin' and Swishin'. Ladies, how are you tonight?
Oh, we're doing pretty good, David.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm great, and I'm pleased to have both of you here. You know, those Xavier teams that you had were some of my favorite teams to watch. And, you know, it's always fun when you get schools that come up like that and do a great job. And you guys were part of a phenomenal run, four A-10 championships in a row for you Special. And, yeah, can you talk for 1 second about what it was like playing for Xavier in that run of championships and so close in the NCAA tournament? Special, why don't we start with you?
It was great. You know, anytime you have the opportunity to play for a great team with great coaches and great teammates, it's fun. I mean, obviously winning is fun, of course, but when you win it and you're doing it with people that you have a good bond with and everybody has a common goal. It's fun. It's very fun. I had a lot of fun playing my 4 years at Xavier.
And April?
I had a slightly shorter run there at Xavier with having transferred in, but it was obviously a once-in-a-lifetime experience, especially getting to the Elite Eight, or my senior year, rather. So that's definitely something I always remember. Xavier definitely gave me some moments that are irreplaceable in my life.
No, and, you know, all of you have moved on from Xavier, and that includes McGuff, who was moved on as well now out to, and is now a Husky. Now things are a little bit different. Now, April, you had a little bit of time with the New York Liberty, and you've played overseas in a couple of different places, right?
Yeah, I played in Israel, Finland, and Belgium.
And how was that?
Each place was very different, I will say that. Overseas basketball, obviously coming from a bigger NCAA school, is very different. But nevertheless, I mean, not many people get to say that they lived in three different countries and get that experience. So I enjoyed it, and, you know, it's something that I will never regret doing, and I'm glad that I did go ahead and go do it.
And Special, you went over and played in Finland as well.
Yes, I am slightly younger than April, so I've only been out of school for just 1 year. Yes, I played it over in Helsinki. So, like she said, it was a very different experience. I look forward to, you know, maybe many more in the near future here, but it was a great opportunity, great experience, and I definitely had fun.
You catch that little dig there where she says, you know, you're younger than you?
Yeah, she's making fun of me, Dave. I'm not that old. I'm about to turn 25, actually, next Thursday, but I'm not that old.
Well, you guys are both pops, let me tell you. I mean, so now you come back here, and, you know, you guys have been great friends over the years. And, you know, so something happens that you guys decide that there's got to be more in the States that can be done. So let's talk about the SNA Next Level Basketball idea that you had. Now, who came up with the idea of forming the organization to begin with?
It was actually more of a common type. I don't know. I guess we kind of came up with it together.
And she's lying to you, David. She's lying to you.
Anyways.
She tagged along. No, I'm just
kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we've been actually all of our years at Xavier in the summer months, we always did training together anyway. So we had been kind of doing some training, and we always, go do things with kids and everything like that. And we just decided that it was time to kind of make it official. So that's where the SNA Next Level Basketball thing came about. We just want more time, more opportunity to be able to get out there and reach the kids.
Well, you're certainly doing that, and there's a couple of things going on. And first, let's start by talking about a little bit of work with the kids that's going on this weekend in special. Why don't you tell us about that?
I have a camp going on. It's the National Skills Combine, and basically I look forward to seeing a lot of the kids from the city, but some outside of the city as well. In a way, that's giving back to the kids. Also, it's me, you know, putting myself on a limb by stepping into the coaching realm, which, like April said, we have always been during the summers in college. We've always been coaching. We had an AAU team, and this summer we coached boys. So it's just basically a camp, you know, an opportunity for kids that they may not have had this summer. So I just figured it was time to go ahead and throw a camp. I mean, there's a lot of people that have camps, and I believe sometimes some people do it for the wrong reasons, but I just want to give kids opportunity. I'm not charging $1 million or anything like that. I think it would just be a great experience for them.
And you guys also offer individual instruction on Wednesday nights?
Correct.
And where is that if people want to, we're interested?
We do it over at Wyoming Rec Center. It's a local recreation center. We actually are co-ed, so we do boys and girls. We kind of like to do the guys as well, just because there's not very many women coaches in the area, let alone women coaches that play collegiate basketball. And a lot of the guys, surprisingly, kind of look up to us, and they enjoy come seeing us play when we play pickup or play in a league here locally. So they respect us a lot, so we try to stay co-ed and just kind of give them a different view of the game, a different way of working out.
Well, that's all great stuff. Now, the other thing that's going on is the primary reason that I wanted you on the podcast, because you guys have started something that is very, very impressive to me, and I really wanted to give you an opportunity to discuss it and to praise you for your efforts. You know, there's the WNBA, and then there really isn't that much else other than the spattering of a few miscellaneous little leagues and stuff like that. But you guys started your own women's basketball league, and the important part is it's NCAA sanctioned. So could you guys talk a little bit about the Citrus Next Level Women's Basketball League and the idea behind that?
Well, the Centos Next Level League is designed because here in Cincinnati there's actually a men's league similar to it. And it's actually a huge thing. It's been going on for 26 years. But in those 26 years, the women haven't gotten that opportunity. So it's NCAA verified, certified, I'm sorry. And current college players are permitted to play. We try to keep the talent level high. Therefore, anybody that participates has to have played college basketball or currently be playing college basketball or be an incoming freshman. We will invite a select few high school seniors that we feel like can play at that level as well. But it's a good time for the women to be able to keep their skills a little bit sharp, because us playing here in Cincinnati, it's hard to find a good open gym in the summers, and I know that from my years at Xavier. So we just wanted to afford the current college players specifically that opportunity to kind of get better in the off season, and for it not to be a time to kind of just lounge.
I mean, you guys have, what, I think there's 8 teams, you know, all sponsored, and there's some names here, you know, you go down the list, and, you know, I recognize some of the names like Maya McCurdy from Rutgers, Aisha Jefferson from Michigan State, but you've got players from, of course, you guys from Xavier, you know, Eastern Michigan, you know, obviously there's an Ohio flavor to this, so there's players from Miami of Ohio, Cincinnati. I mean, this is not, you know, a group that is missing talent. I mean, there's some serious players here.
Oh, yeah, we want to get out after. I'm very excited. And actually, today is the last day for registration. And, oh, my God, my email's been blowing up. We're actually at capacity, and I'm actually going to have to probably add a couple more teams because so many people want to participate. So It's going to be some good basketball, probably the best women's basketball outside the season that this city has seen, I think.
And now, how often is this is going to run for about a month is for the summer league?
Correct. It's going to be 6 weeks of league play, and then we will have a league-ending tournament the seventh weekend.
And this is going to be once a week?
Correct.
And when will that be and where will that be? So if people are in the Cincinnati area, they could check it out.
It will be on Sunday evenings at Sports Plus. Sports Plus is a six-court facility. They have actually one big court. Court 4 is where they have a pretty big stands area. So we'll have it there at Sports Plus in Evendale. Games start at 4. The last game starts at 7:45.
And do you charge admission for people to get in and see?
Absolutely not. Per NCAA regulations, we are not permitted to charge any entry fees, but we are allowed to take donations. So if they would like to donate, great. If not, they can just come on in and watch some good basketball.
Now, how difficult was the procedures to get NCAA approved for this?
Oh, well, it's not too bad. Once you kind of get in there, obviously their lingo is a bit different. On their website, but I've been in close communication with one person in particular at the NCAA office who's been very helpful in assuring that all of our questions get answered, because obviously it's our first year doing it. It's from a different side of the fence. We've never been on this side of the fence, so we want to make sure that we do everything correct so that everybody is, you know, not punished or anything by the NCAA. So we're going very we're walking on thin ice, I should say, but I mean, it's not too much. Once you get what they ask you for, submit it, it's pretty easy.
And this is something that you're hoping to see grow and do for the long haul, right?
Oh, absolutely. We want this to run for years and years, just as the men's devil's years. Like I said, it's been going for 23 years. So if we can achieve that kind of longevity, then I think we'll be on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, the men's leagues, there's no question that there's always been success in those summer leagues. I mean, here in Connecticut, we've had the Greater Hartford Pro-Am, has a lot of the UConn guys and other locals go and play in that. But, yeah, same thing here. There really hasn't been much for the women to play in. And the fact that you're doing this, I mean, this is something that, you know, potentially could expand into other cities as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's our plan. If we get it to be at a point that we would like it to be, which I think that we kind of are achieving that, it's actually kind of taking us blindside how much success we're having just in registration thus far. So I think that is the long-term plan, to go ahead and try to move it around a little bit once we get situated and everything gets concrete.
Now, who's coaching these teams? I mean, is it coach your own? I mean, do you have particular people that, you know, have said that they wanted to coach a team and be a part of one?
Yeah, we have some local coaches who may have coached or trained some of the girls that are playing in it, or some who haven't at all or just involved in women's basketball that want to volunteer their time and be a part of it. But it's not really a get-on-you coaching type situation, just kind of more so to sit there and do some subbing kind of type deal, just enjoy it, be a part of it.
Now, are you guys playing on the same team? You guys stacking the deck here?
Well, you know what? The thing about this league is that we are allowing the girls, if they have a friend that they want to play with, they can play with them. So, yeah, we're going to play together as well.
Yeah, I just know that Tashia Phillips is going to show up one of these days, isn't she?
Hey, that is to remain silent.
we're going to see the whole the Xavier team back together there one day.
Like a reunion. Maybe once we all get 50 or something, we'll come back and show the young ones something.
That's it. You know, that's to show them that, you know, the old folks can play. It's going to be all at 25, like you said, April.
I think I might have a knee replacement by then, David.
Well, ladies, I want to congratulate you on doing some big things. I mean, this is a phenomenal endeavor, and you know, the fact that it goes beyond just the league, too, and also trying to do the camps for the kids and do other things. I mean, you have set this up as a nonprofit organization. And, you know, so as you said, the games will be played on Sundays. There is no charge to go see some great basketball, but donations would be appreciated because you're putting it all right back in.
Correct. And one more thing, we are holding an opening day free youth clinic also. So from 2:30 to 3:30, all girls are welcome to come out, and some of the players have volunteered their time to run a clinic for the youth of the city.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. Well, ladies, I want to wish you the best of luck. And, you know, we should have you reporting on what's going on with the league on HoopFeed.
Oh, that would be awesome. Trust me, our Twitter, we're going to keep it updated on our Twitter for sure.
Sounds great. Well, good luck to you, and, you know, keep doing good things and keep working hard because, you know, there is no doubt that you guys are doing really, really great for the community.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it, David.
Thank you, David.
And try not to beat on the other teams too much, okay?
Hey, I think they're ready for it.
Yeah, you old folks. We know. Take care.
All right, thanks.
This is Jackie Jamelis, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Clearly, the Los Angeles Sparks are one of the best stories of the WNBA season so far. They're off to a great start, winning games, and last night they took care of the Connecticut Sun on the Sun's home court in a battle for second place overall in the league, right behind the Minnesota Lynx, the one team that had beaten both of them. Prior to the game, I got a chance to talk to several of the participants in the Sparks' success. So we're going to bring a couple of interviews to you right now from courtside at Mohegan Sun Arena, some of the members of the Los Angeles Sparks. We're going to start things off with Coach Carol Ross, coming over from the Atlanta Dream, where she was the assistant coach to Marinell Matters and very familiar with the Connecticut Sun, having knocked them off in the playoffs last year. Coach Ross has the team playing defense, something that the LA Sparks were never known for in the past, and with great success. Talk to you for about your team for a second. I mean, you're off to a tremendous start. And what's been impressive to me is you've taken a group of players that had not played together, and they're playing not only offensively team basketball, but the defense has been really something that's been impressive to watch.
Well, we are a little bit better defensively than we are offensively. Just because the defense is a little bit ahead. Effort, energy, you know, they all have that. So that wasn't that hard to tap into. Offensively, we're still trying to work. We've got great pieces. We're trying to get them to work together a little bit better. And, of course, we think that'll come in time.
Well, when you've got two shooting guards and eight power forwards on your roster, it makes for an interesting mix.
Well, it does. But they, you know, we are versatile. So we can move pieces around, but it's also good to have, you know, the ability to combine. You know, there are many practices where we've got like four threes or four fours on the floor with one guard. So it's interesting, but they're talented.
Well, you know, certainly bringing in Coco Miller has got to help with ball handling and take a little bit of pressure off both Christy and Elena.
No question about it. You know, we've been short of ball handlers since Zoll went down, and Coco comes in, you know, but she's been in the league a long time. I've had the opportunity to help coach her in Atlanta, so there was some familiarity there, and it certainly has helped have an extra ball handler.
Well, plus it's another player that played for Washington, and we know that you accumulate them.
Well, I associate her with Atlanta, so I'm not going to give Washington all that credit on Coco.
How is Sharnie doing? And, you know, I've got a couple friends that are very interested in her game. And, you know, it was a really tough break. She really appeared that this was going to be the year she was going to be able to break into the league.
Yeah, I mean, you're always sick when a player goes down with an injury, but I don't know. And I felt worse for a player than I have for Zoll because she came in with such energy and she was really making an impact and finding her way. And to not even get out of the chutes and then to have such a tough injury. But she's a fiery, peppy little competitor, and she's now competing against the ACL injury, and hopefully she'll be back on the court next season.
And that would be nice to see her back on the court. I heard that Ebony's not here.
Ebony had a pretty tough ankle turn in our last game, and so she's out for a while. Not sure, you know, how long she'll be out, but tough injury.
Well, you know, you had gotten that, you know, the allowance. You got to have Coco come in, so you know, you were due for another player to go down.
I guess so. Well, yeah, we'd like to swim around 8 or 9. That seems to be the way we work.
You know, and the idea of putting bubble wrap around Candace and Atlanta, you know, that just appears that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, we're not going to allow that to happen. But yeah, it's just unfortunate for the ones that are injured. We're happy for the ones that are healthy.
Can you just talk about NECA and what she's been doing and how her adjustments are going? And I mean, obviously she's been playing, you know, great to our eyes. How about to the coach's eyes?
Yeah, I mean, she's everything everybody thought she would be, and you know, her motor just never cuts off. She just plays hard, and I laugh. I say we hardly ever run anything for NECA. NECA just gets her own stuff. NECA is she's an energy player. The older players have really embraced her and nurtured her and mentored her, and she's a sponge. So it's a great combination.
A team with Candace Parker and NECA Ogwumike certainly would not expect Christy Tolliver to be one of their leading scorers, but Christy has been playing great basketball so far this year for the Sparks. Being forced due to the injuries to Sharnay Zoll to play more minutes at the point than she would like to, she has still managed to keep her composure and her cool out there under times of duress, and has even nailed that big jumper to win a game earlier this season. So I talked to Christy about the difference this year in the LA Sparks and the confidence level that she's been playing with. Christy, the season is, you know, only a few games in, but you know, you're off to a tremendous start, and just when I see the difference from this year to last year, the confidence in your game is just incredible.
It's funny because I don't think confidence has ever been an issue with me ever in my life. So I think it is just the, you know, the numbers, the play. But you know, I prepared very hard in the off season, so I'll be ready for this summer. You know, I expected to have a good summer. So I think that the only people that are really surprised everybody else, I'm not. So that's fine with me.
Well, you know, the thing is, just even with the ball handling, you know, that's where I see a lot more just quick decisions being made. That's really where I think where I use the word confidence.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps it's just being a little more confident, comfortable with the players that you have now. But I mean, it is a whole different team pretty much from last year.
I think it's just a matter of being decisive. You know, you make those kind of boneheaded plays when you're indecisive. In this offseason, I got to play with, you know, my old teammate, Crystal Langhorne. So I got to be the point guard with her, who, you know, I was very comfortable with in college. And she helped me kind of just play with my instincts. And so I've just kind of carried that into the season so far.
Now, how about the addition of people like Marissa coming over, another college teammate, and, you know, Elena Beard coming in here, and Candace coming healthy? You know, it's just got to be such a great environment, you know, with these experienced and, you know, talented players.
It is. I mean, it's a lot of fun to play with these guys, because they are experienced, they're talented, and they're unselfish players. And when everybody, you know, thinks the team before themselves, good things happen. I think that's what we've been doing. You know, we play well together, we share the ball, and we make one another better. And you can see that on the floor. You know, it's not a one-man, two-man show. You know, you have to defend all five. And so they've been great additions. And obviously to have a healthy Candace is always a plus. Hopefully she can remain healthy for the rest of the season.
Can you talk for a sec about Coach Ross, though, and what she brings, the difference that she's made as the head coach? She's always been one of my favorite coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that she, you know, that she's just changed the mentality towards defense here in particular.
She has. I mean, she's an awesome coach. I didn't know too much about her until, well, except the fact they beat us, you know, in the
here,
second round.
Well, not here, in Hartford. Yes, and I will say that my family was devastated. We were there to see you.
Yes, I was devastated as well. But she's awesome, and she brings intensity, you know, on the offensive and defensive end. She expects so much from all of us. You know, she knows that we can always give a little bit more, and she really makes us believe that we can be you know, the best, the better players offensively and defensively. And I think she just instills that kind of confidence and demands so much from us that we just want to play hard for her, for one another, because, you know, we expect to be great and she expects us to be great.
Having Coco come in now, how much of a help is that for you, adding a little backcourt depth there?
Yeah, when Coco got here, Coach was like, I bet you're the most happy to see her. And I was like, you're right. Just because, you know, it's a long season, and so, you know, you can't play 37 minutes a game. She brings experience, you know, she takes care of the ball. She plays great defense. And so she's just what we need to fill in that position to help us moving forward.
No, I gotta say though, when you hit that shot to win the game after all the turnovers, the tweet you had afterwards where you said, you know, I can't wait to have another game like that, well, except for the turnovers,
mm-hmm.
just showed, you know, how you can move on and how you have to have that mentality as a player.
Right, you do. You have to have a short memory in this league and as a player. And it's always been kind of difficult for me because I've always been such a perfectionist. And so, because I expect so much from myself and I know I can do better. But, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons in my career, and that is one of them, that you just got to move on. And to be able to stay in the game, you know, I knew that I still had a play in me to make, a big play. And so I'm happy that it happened that way. And I think that hopefully it shows, you know, other players out there watching that no matter how much bad happens in a game, you can always come through and make a big play.
I first met Elena Beard back in 2004 in New Orleans with my family when we were down to see the Final Four, and she was Player of the Year, and got to talk to her quite frequently from then all the way up through recently. We've talked about so many things on and off the court. As she's always taken a great interest in my daughter as she grew up, and Elena seems to be in better health and certainly far better mind than she's been in quite some time. It was a pleasure to see her running and playing hard on the court last night, and it was just as much fun to talk to her and explore her mindset prior to the game.
How does it feel? This has to be the greatest thing, to go through all you did for those couple of years and be out here and playing at a good pace and winning.
I feel fortunate, you know. I feel fortunate to be the great organization. I feel fortunate that LA Sports gave me a chance. Most importantly, I feel fortunate that I have great teammates that, you know, support and understand, you know, sort of my situation. So.
You know, you got a half of Washington with you, though.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems that if you add in a Candace Parker and a Kristi Calvert, the team seems to win more games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we come to a team where they were already in place, you know. Kristi's just taking her game up to another level. I haven't seen her play like this since college, and that's why we're winning games. We're winning games because her and Candace are, and NECA, don't forget NECA Agumake, that kid is just one of those kids that just gives you the look that does the little things and gives you the points and rebounds that you need to win.
Well, I just think between the Duke and the Stanford here, you know, I'm almost intimidated to talk to you guys.
Don't be. You should be more intimidated by NECA.
She is an impressive young woman,
is.
That is for sure. I've had her on the podcast before and love talking to her. So, you know, Carol Ross, defensive-minded coach. Now, that right away, you had to know that was going to fit right up your alley.
Of course, and that's one thing I pride myself on. You know, I think if anything, that's the one thing I worked on in Israel. You know, obviously, I feel like the offense is going to come once you get the feel and the rhythm of the game back. But defense is something that you can't teach. If anything, it's all effort. And that's what I kind of prided myself on in Israel, just getting back to that reaction time and just reading the offensive players a little bit more. And that kind of helped me when I came into training camp here.
Did you ever think at any point in those last 2 years that it's not worth it?
Not that it's not worth it, but you question whether you would be back, you know, because you get up every day and you do the rehab that you do. You do the things that are asked of you, and then sometimes you see more improvement. But those that continue to improve, continue to work, no matter what they feel inside, are the ones who make it back.
Was it difficult to leave Washington? I mean, the circumstances, I know,
yeah,
played out the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to find yourself playing for another team?
Not difficult at all, because I embrace change. If anything, for the past 2 years, I've been going through a lot of change. So this was sort of the end of it. And I embraced it, and I love it. I'm having a blast in LA. I get up every day, and the sun is shining. You know, and that without doubt puts a smile on my face. On top of going in to practice every single day and knowing that we're just going to simply play basketball, and that's all Coach Ross is asking of you. And it makes everything worth it.
The pup with you?
Huh?
The pup with you?
Oh, of course.
Just loving LA?
Well, right now we have a lot of construction going on at the at the apartment, so I don't know if she's loving it that much. So I only can take her out at night because she's so scatterbrain about, you know, all the noises. But she's everywhere I go.
Player of the week, 7-for-7 from the floor, 4-for-4 from the line, 18 points, and a phenomenal game overall for Nneka Ogwumike last night. I had a chance to talk with the Rook prior to the game about some of the adjustments that she's gone through and getting used to being an LA Spark and a professional ball player and what that's been like for her.
So what I want to ask you is, you've now been here for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk differences. First thing, travel. Difference between Stanford and with the Sparks.
In terms of like traveling time or
how
schedule?
Different. Difficult, easy?
I wouldn't say it's really much different.
No?
I wouldn't say it's much different from preseason.
Well, what about college, though?
Oh.
Stanford, I would assume, gave you a little bit better accommodations to travel for the airfare as opposed to coming WNBA style.
Oh, no, we flew commercial.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we flew commercial at Stanford.
Really?
Uh-huh. A lot of people think that we did it, but no, we flew commercial.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I assumed
it's not any different from college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that just blew up the whole first part of my interview. So thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. So let's talk about winning player of the week. And, you know, already this, you know, it seems like you've adapted pretty well your game already, and they seem to be adjusting to you as a teammate.
Mm-hmm. I think I have really supportive teammates. It's nice to come into a system where you fit in, obviously, and playing alongside Candace and Delisha and Jantel in the post, and obviously Ebony. But, she's not here right now, but it's been really nice, and it's just been a really smooth transition.
And how does it feel to be a professional on your own as opposed to, you know, the regimented college schedule right now?
Well, it's different, but it's not that much different. We have a lot of fun everywhere we go. We're really close, and our coaches are great. The organization is wonderful, and I think I'm just really happy I'm a part of the Sparks.
You know, and Coach Ross is always a defensive-minded coach. You know, that's something that Coach Tara always was as well. So,
yeah.
You know, that's something that's got to fit right into your game.
Definitely. She's making me a better defensive player individually. I think at Stanford it was more so about the team defense. And here, you know, she's talking about taking risks and, you know, going for steals and such. Being very aggressive on the defensive end, because offense doesn't come every day, but you can always bring the defense.
And you certainly have the shot blockers behind you.
Yeah.
Now, in case you gamble and miss.
Exactly.
So that's got to be nice. What's the other thing that's got to be nice is, now you made, of course, the game-winning shot that game, but mm-hmm. You know, you got Christy hit one, and
yeah.
you've got all of these players. Offensive skills is certainly one thing that this team is not lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be easier for you. I mean, a lot of times last year, I mean, this takes you back more to like Stanford 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Than this past season.
Yeah. You know, when you have a lot of offensive weapons, there's a lot less pressure. But it's just great. Sometimes I catch myself just, you know, like watching some of the things that Candace does or Christy does. But I try my best to compliment them and to contribute what I can.
Well, you know, I was talking to Elaine. I said between the Duke and Stanford, you know academically, it's a little intimidating talking to you guys. She said, forget about her. It's all you. She said, talk to the Stanford grad.
I mean, we joke around a lot, but Elaine is great, too. You know, she's very wise, and she helps me a lot, despite the fact that she's a guard. So
you're looking for a little different result from playing in Connecticut this time than last time?
I would hope so, yeah.
So will the Sparks be able to catch the Minnesota Lynx and become the best team in the West, and therefore possibly the best team in the WNBA? Well, we still got a long way to go this season, but one thing is for sure, the best seems to be yet to come for this team. As they recover from injuries, they adjust to playing beside each other, get used to the systems on offense that Carol Ross has put in, as they are already adjusting to the defensive systems. And I think the LA Sparks are definitely here for the long haul this season and will be one of the strong front runners to win the WNBA title.
I'm David Siegel, and I hope you've enjoyed this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast, and we'll talk again soon.